are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
Yeah. So here's the advice to young people.
Yes.
Say yes and show up.
Brilliant.
Say yes and show up to everything. Say yes. This is the time when you are rich in an asset that we are all begging for, and that is time.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
This week, listen to Ross McGill, founder of Teacher Toolkit, interview Melody Hosseini, founder and CEO of social enterprise Inspire Engage International. Melody is a self-described human investor. In today's podcast, some of the things we'll be discussing are why investing in humans is important, the differences in education style between Sweden and England, and society's attitude to the ambition of women in business.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I am interviewing Melody Hosseini. Melody, could you say hello to everybody and tell everyone what you do?
Hey everyone, so yeah, I'm Melody and I'm the founder and CEO of a social enterprise called Inspire Engage International. And I am a human investor. So I believe that magic happens when we invest in people's mindset and when we invest in people's skills. So that's what we do. We train people to develop the best and most productive mindset, and we train people to develop the life skills needed to make that happen, whatever they want to happen.
Now, I'd like to explore how have you come up, and I want to explore how have you come up with the term human investor. What led you to that point of defining your work?
So we've worked with a lot of different, you know, industries, and we were kind of, you know, things keep changing. One minute it's sexy for people to go to uni, the next minute it's sexy for everyone to set up a business. And you know, we pulled and pushed by political agendas and the world and whatever. And I just think at the midst of it all, I had this realization that actually the core most important thing is to invest in humans. And as we head towards the fourth industrial revolution, where technology is going to take over, I think that the key thing here are human skills, human intuition, emotional intelligence, creativity, all these important, important things. That's why I believe if we invest in human skill, that's the thing that will really save us.
Great.
So that's why I call myself a human investor.
And, you know, I'll talk about your work in schools, but my experience of being in schools, obviously making people or making pupils, not just teachers, connect with you to get the best out of them. Is what matters. Tell me more about Inspire Engage.
In what way? In terms of our approach?
Your approach, but I know you probably couldn't describe to me a typical week, because I'm sure it's very it varies wildly, but give listeners a snapshot into its moral compass and what a working month might look like, the highlights.
You asked me about 8 questions there in one. So I think that our moral compass, our moral compass, let's say, as a social enterprise, is that we're people-led, we're needs-led. Whatever the need is, and at the moment, you know, you and I both know, and as well as your listeners know, that there's a massive need in education to support students and teachers with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we, as an industry, support students and teachers? It's more difficult than ever, and yet they have less money than ever. Mm-hmm. What do we do? This is a very real problem. And, it's, you know, organizations like Inspire Engage, we are a delivery partner. We've been supporting primary school level all the way to university level and everything in between for over 10 years now. How do we continue to support people when there is just no money, and that forms our bread and butter? Yeah. So this is a very, very real issue that I think, and I'm speaking to a lot of head teachers, principals, and everyone in between that are telling me we really need the support. We are struggling. Mm-hmm. The morale is low amongst the staff, and also the young people need it more than ever. Our approach is this, and this is the key thing. There's many things. I'll keep it super brief to the most important thing, and that is this. Our key focus here should be people's personal identity. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
When you know who you are, so it's students.
Yeah.
I'll deal with that first and then move on to slightly different for teachers. If each student knows who they are, if they can create a space where they think about, look, who am I? What am I passionate about? Where have I come from? What are my strengths? Inspiring Engage uses a tool called My Passport. And within that, you just support people on a very individual level to think about their identity and really what they want, not what your mate wants, not what the world's telling you to do. What do you ultimately want out of life and who are you?
Yeah.
What are you walking into the world with? If you get them to think about that, that forms the foundation for everything. You start feeling good, you start feeling more confident, you start making better decisions for yourself about what you're going to study next, where you're going to go, whether you do apprenticeship, a million options. That's the other problem. We've got too much noise.
Yes, there's too many options.
There's too much noise. Constantly on our phones. Many things are happening that are contributing to this problem, but that's the starting point. With teachers, we are doing CPD, a lot of CPD around supporting teachers and educators to be them again.
Yes.
Here's the thing. We are all professionals, but we also have a personal, we are human. This is, again, why it comes back to human investment. So what we do within our sessions with educators is we allow them to take their professional hat off for a minute within the professional setting.
Yeah.
What are you passionate about? What was your purpose when you entered into the job you do? Is it the same now? And it's a very powerful thing then when you think about that as a human being, as a mom, as a dad, as a who, whatever you are. You as a person,
yes.
And then you put your professional hat back on and you connect it to the job you do. Very powerful. And we all need to take time to do that.
I often ask teachers the why question when I meet them face to face. And it's incredible how much it elicits or reminds people of the moral compass.
Yes.
What I want to do, I want to rewind maybe 20, 25 years back to 1995 when you were at school. Could you describe the melody to listeners, please?
Trying to do the math, what was I then? Because I grew up in Sweden.
I grew up and went to school
in Sweden, which was wonderful in many, many ways now when I look back as a professional also, because it was very hands-on education. In music, we made music. Mm. When we woodwork, we actually produced products made out of wood that we took. I mean, it was very hands-on. You know, in music, we had a band, you know?
Yeah.
So the education was very real in that sense. You know, when we learned about enterprise, which we did at that, you know, I moved to this country when I was 13. So you're talking before high school.
Yeah.
We went out and sold products. We had to order them. We had to work out how much it cost. You know, it was very hands-on. And that's a powerful thing in education. Yeah. So that was me in Sweden. When I moved to this country, I moved to South Staffordshire, which was 99.9% white British, and the 0.01% was my family.
Yes.
So it was a very different experience.
Yes.
I found it very much of a cultural shock trying to fit in. I was bullied to a massive extent. But here's what I did was that and this is the start of connecting it to what I do today, is at the age of 13, I thought, actually, you know what, I can sit here, cry, and pull myself back and it affects my studies, or I can just keep focused on the bigger picture. Again, it came down to knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And I knew what I loved doing, and what I loved doing was involved in giving to the community, understanding how things work. I knew at that age that life should be more than just going to school, coming home. We do, and this is the mistake as a society, we place a lot of pressure on post-education. You know, as if you haven't started your journey when you're in education. Everything starts when you're 18 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work like that. Your development starts in the womb. We all know that. Up to seven, that's where you take shape. Show me the boy, I'll show you the man. You know, at age seven, and for girls as well. So, you know, this is the thing, very important years, and I realized more should be happening at this age. So that's what I did. I became co-founder of UK Youth Parliament, got involved in my community, and that started healing for me.
Okay.
You know, so in education, I found it very difficult in England because I felt like everyone had to fit into a box.
Okay.
I didn't fit into a box.
In terms of learning, what was the biggest difference between Sweden and England?
That's an interesting question. Learning in what way? Because learning
just for your experience as a child. I know we're going back 20 odd years, but what was the kind of biggest noticeable difference between in the classroom as a pupil in Sweden compared to England?
I think that the biggest noticeable difference was that in England, I felt, I mean, this could be my school. So I'm not saying by all means this is Britain as a whole.
But
my experience, my personal experience comparing that school in South Staffordshire to my school in Malmö in Sweden was that in England, I felt I was very pressured, not only in education by the teachers, but also by students, the whole as a whole, was fitting in. fitting in a uniform. And again, even the uniform we wore, the clothes we wore, everything was uniform. Everyone had to fit in.
Yes.
The pressure to fit in when people are different and our strengths are in our diversity.
And you can see that narrative again, it's been challenged, that orthodoxy, through social media, through people speaking out, finding their identities, sharing their stories today. And I'm very following your journey for a number of years. We can't fail to mention your episode on The Apprentice, your experience. Could you give listeners a brief overview of your journey on The Apprentice?
Yeah, I mean, so I was just watching it one night, and then the advert came on, do you want to be on the next series? And grabbed my laptop, and I applied. 75,000 people applied that year, and they, you know, I was one of the people who was selected to be on the show. It was a surreal experience.
Yeah.
To me, the year when I went on, it wasn't to work for him, it was to gain an investment for business. So that's why I wanted to continue doing what I was doing. I wanted to bring, because I'm a social entrepreneur, I wanted to bring a social impact and a social enterprise to what I saw to be a very dog-eat-dog corporate world, which is what that show portrays.
Yes.
And that was the first time I ever got an insight into that dog-eat-dog, because I've always been in social enterprise and very community-based things. So it was a very surreal experience, heavily edited, like you would not believe.
I bet, yeah.
It was surreal watching it back. We didn't get to watch it until it aired on TV.
Right.
So you didn't know what was coming. So Wednesday night, 10 p.m. was vomit time.
I guess
time,
the like typical editing, they play your emotions or screen or faces against each other when they don't connect to actually what happened. And
But I'm very grateful for having done it, because I learned a lot about myself.
So I imagine back in 2011 doing the social enterprise versus the dog-eat-dog world would have been quite a challenge even back then. It still is today, in my opinion. What was the kind of key lesson learned from that experience, I suppose?
So one of the things that I realized, and I think we're getting better at this in the world, is, and the people, you know, people listening to this, teachers might even be able to relate to, is that when a guy is very ambitious, when a man is really, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I did this, I sold this, people are willing to pat him on the back and say, well done.
Yeah.
You know, they admire ambition in men.
Yeah.
And we'd like to say the same for women, but our attitudes in reality is not the same.
Yes.
When a woman is very ambitious and says, I did this, I came up with this idea, I'm really proud of that, and wants that recognition and deserves the recognition, people are not as quick to pat her on the back and say, well done, mate, you're so good that you're so...
I'm silently nodding here because I want listeners to hear. Before we came on there, we talked about the challenges of being parent and managing your business. How do you navigate that?
Ever prevalent in motherhood, yes.
What kind of tips have you got?
Here's the thing. Before going on The Apprentice, I said, which was in the paper, actually, I said that being a woman, I have witnessed and experienced the inequality that exists in business. And I have many a stories about this, which I won't go into right now, but many a stories about how women are viewed differently. However, I believe that you can, as a woman, still be able to be a little bit in denial about that and push forward. It's what you choose to do. So you can even out the imbalances by your attitude and your effort and everything. Yeah. I think it's possible. That's until I became a mom. And then I realized, actually, the world is unequal. The world is unequal.
Yes.
As a mother, you're supposed to mother like you don't work, and you're supposed to work like you don't mother.
Yeah, that's a very good saying.
That's reality.
It is.
And it's unfair.
Women
sacrifice much more than men.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I mean, my wife supports a lot of the work I do with Teacher Toolkit. It wouldn't be possible without her, full stop. You do a lot of work in schools and things. What are your insights from your experiences working with teachers and schools, their current challenges?
I think that it's they're under a lot of pressure. I absolutely empathise. There's very small budgets, bigger tasks than ever.
Mm-hmm.
They, as human beings, can only take on so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking to teachers who are now saying, you know, we are doing... first aid mental health training, dealing with some very urgent issues right in front of them. That obviously can be very difficult whilst also delivering the curriculum and 100 things that they've got to do. I empathise with that. You know, the CPD programs that we deliver, I'd love to find a partner, an organization, someone that we could work with to try and go into schools, go into educational institutions to support more teachers to be able to do what we're talking about, this human investor program, where they think about their purpose but connected to their jobs. And I think that we need more of that, more opportunity within the educational institution for each individual human being to take off their professional hat and to consider their purpose, but then connect it back to their job. And I think that time has to happen for us to be good at what we're doing and supporting students.
And in terms of, you know, I'm quite fascinated with that purpose and job connection and my own insights into teacher life. You know, people are often driven by their moral compass. But I'm going to put you in the corner here and say, if there's one thing you'd like to see change within the education system in England, is there anything that comes to mind?
Yes, I would like to get a hammer and smash all the boxes. Let people be free to who they are. It's like that Einstein quote, which I said in my TEDx talk. It's, you know, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it's going to grow up believing it's stupid.
Yes.
There is no one way to be successful.
No.
We know that. Of course, that's logic. Everyone will nod their heads and go, of course, that's obvious. And yet the system is designed that way. So although we are fantastic teachers, we know this, we understand all of this, but we are still operating within the system.
Mm-hmm.
So the system has to change. And I know that's a massive statement and it sounds very aspirational,
mm-hmm.
but the world is changing, educational institutions, and the system has to change with it. The world is changing at a rapid rate. It's not like 10 years ago. It's mm-hmm. not like 20 years ago. This is rapid. And the fourth industrial revolution is coming. And now here, what's the change we're all asking?
Yeah.
What needs to happen?
So
what needs to happen is that there needs to be more focus on social skills, on more human skills and life skills. That's so important.
So on my PhD research, I'm looking at social media, attention economy. I see your content on your Twitter and your Instagram and the challenge of being a mum and running a business. What are your thoughts? I know this is complex for a short podcast, but kind of key thoughts on how we can support children's mental health with all this free access to social media, as well as the fourth revolution influencing us all. I know there's lots of questions there, but any thoughts?
Yeah, this is really, really deep and broad. And I do talk about this in chunks on social media and stuff. But in short, I think that now, it depends who we're talking to. Are we talking to parents or are we talking to educators? But either way, if you are a parent, I think a key thing is communication. Always have the door open.
Yeah.
Always build the relationships. It's so much better if something were to happen, our children say, oh, crap, if my mum finds out, then if they say, I need to call my mum or dad, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's the communications have to be open. The practice of sitting down face-to-face, whether it's at dinner time, I don't know how people's lives work. For us, it's dinner time and bedtime, where we check in with each other. That's very important. Also, within educational institution, again, communication is key. Time for reflection. Time for, you know, and time is important. That's of the essence, because it's lack of it all the time.
Yeah.
But these things are key. And then the other thing, which I will always go back to, is identity. Letting a person know who they are, that's a thing. That's like an armor. That's like the sword. It's like it's everything that equips us to be able to go into the world, you know, to be confident, to thrive within a noisy world. So I think that those two things, I think communication and identity.
I've got one last probably deep question for you on that note. With the kind of dialogue with identity and your own journey, and I guess I suspect you get a lot of communication from younger people who may be struggling to identify or to fit in, going back to what you said earlier. Any kind of thoughts, tips for people listening? I do have younger students that follow me on Teacher Toolkit. So any tips for our young people out there?
Yeah, so I think for young people, I say, look, there's so much out there, okay? And that's a good thing. There's so much out there. Like, for example, my counterparts in Iran, where I was born, Mm-hmm. They are begging for opportunity. They are begging. You know, if there wasn't here, we have to advertise opportunities and beg people to come.
Yeah.
It always perplexes me how there's, you know, schools offer incredible add-on opportunities for young people to develop themselves and have to beg people to come.
Yeah.
When I moved here, I was at the front of the queue for everything. Sometimes I was alone. I didn't understand why every student is knocking down the door to come.
Yeah.
So here's the advice to young people.
Yeah.
Say yes and show up.
Brilliant.
Say yes and show up to everything. Say yes. This is the time when you are rich in an asset that we are all begging for, and that is time.
Yes.
You've got time. That's a big, you may not have money, but you've got loads of time. So say yes to things and show up to things. This is the time. And it's your responsibility. Not your mum's, not the school, not your dad, not God, not anyone's, but yours.
Yeah,
to shape your life. So say yes and show up. And I'm invited to a lot of speaking engagements. I do for schools and lots of award days and lots of things. And I will say a little bit of tough love. Say yes, show up. It's your chance.
Like,
if you don't want to hear it,
like,
that's again,
say yes,
you know, that's your
up.
Path in life, you know, decided for you. It's not as complicated as we sometimes think, you know.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. If you're in it, you're going to get a lot out of it. If you say no and can't be bothered, you're not going to get much out of it.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Open the doors. I say, I like that. Say yes and show up. I'm going to steal that. Right, I'm going to fire loads of quick fire questions at you. If
what
that's
have we
right.
been doing so far? I feel like I've been...
No, well, those are my brief in-depth ones, but yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna
I feel like
some...
I'm speaking very fast.
I'm gonna put on my music to distract you and lift the pressure a little bit. And I've been making
nothing can break me. I've been in Lord Sugar's boardroom, Ross.
And I've been making lots of notes as we go through, but we've hit the 20-minute mark, so I'm gonna pump
Let's
loads
see
of
this.
Questions your way. So here we go. First question from me, I guess in my current life, the entrepreneur. Definitions or tips, you know, what have you. I got the question is tips for entrepreneurs, what would it be?
Get on with it. I have to note to myself as well, actually do it. Don't trial and plan things for too long.
Yeah.
Get it out there. See what people think about it. You can do that by social media and just get out there and do it.
Okay. What projects are you currently working on now?
We are currently working on expanding our online training tools, and we're also doing developing our programs on mental health and people development within education.
Okay. Something that was said in the media that really made a profound change in your behaviours, whether
in
negative or whether negative or positive.
That's a really tough one, because in order for it to impact me profoundly, it would need to be more than just what I hear in the media. But I am always very moved by the way women are portrayed in the media.
Yeah.
This Prince Harry and Meghan Markle situation, how she is being blamed for a decision that they've made as a couple, that bothers me.
Yeah.
And I've talked a lot about that on social media, and I feel moved by the way women are portrayed in the media.
Okay.
And that
and
has
I'll
to
I'll check out your threads on those. And what books are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading three things. I'm reading Calm Parents, Happy Kids, which is actually a very powerful book. I am reading Still Me by Jojo Moyes, and I'm reading Collaborative Advantage by Paul Skinner.
Okay. Top tips for doing your first TED Talk?
Be very clear about the real objective you want to achieve by what you're speaking about. At the end of it, what was your message? What really is the one thing you wanted to get across? Be clear about that. And have humour and connect with people as you say it.
Okay, lovely. If I was visiting Malmo for half a day, what would you recommend I do?
What would I recommend you do? Eat hot dog and ice cream. And it's just amazing for food. And make sure you go to Copenhagen because it's super close, just over the bridge.
Right.
And enjoy.
Okay, great. Tips for parents, what would it be on the school run?
On the school run? Speak to other parents, connect and develop relationship. You're all in the same boat, and they're not as scary as together as you think they are. We're all going through the same thing.
Okay. Any other tips for parents dealing with something they're unhappy about with the school?
With the school?
Yeah. Whether any issue.
I will always come. If you're unhappy about anything, whether it's in marriage or with your children or at school, anything, communication is key. Make the time, go down, sit, say how you feel, why you feel it, and develop a relationship with the teacher or the head, whoever, and have a conversation.
Okay, couple more. In terms of
See how
who,
quickly I'm answering
yeah,
these.
Yeah. In terms
like,
of your identity, the who, What are your tips for people really narrowing down that focus?
What do you mean?
So when you do your My Passport, the identity work, and you do the foundations of the WHO, how do you structure... It's a very big question, I suppose. How do you get your strap line of who you are in a sentence? Oh, so if I go, I'll throw it to you. Who are you in a sentence?
Really, it's about where have you come from? Mm-hmm. You've got to think about your past and what are you equipped with and mm-hmm. what made you who you are today. Who you are right now, so what are your strengths? In a room full of people, what are you better than average at? What are you passionate about? All these things, your motto. And then where do you want to go? What's your goal? So these three segments, I think, form the core of that.
Great. Now, I would imagine you're doing your dream job already, but if you weren't, what would it be?
I would work in a library.
Oh, you would?
Honestly, my dream job is working. I'm going to be doing that one day. I love the library. I'm there at least 2-3 times a week. Sometimes when I don't want to work in my own office, I'll go sit in the library. And I'm often distracted and then I'm embroiled into people's lives because I am so interested. That's what I do. I love human beings. Okay. And I'm watching people, learning. I just love the library. Sorts of people come in. I love books, so I would be a librarian.
Next question. Who would you recommend I interview next and why?
Someone I find really interesting, and as we go forward to this thinking about shaping the world, we need to draw influences and thinking from everywhere. Someone who I find interesting is someone called Mimi Icon, who lives in London, actually, but she is she comes of some descent, maybe Russian and something, but she grew up in Canada. Okay. Anyway, she has very interesting insights about human development and also parenting. So I find her thinking really refreshing.
Okay, one more fast one. Where can listeners find out more about you, TED Talk, books, websites?
So you can find me always on Instagram, Melody_Hosseini. But in terms of more information, go on MelodyHosseini.com. I'm also on Twitter at Melody_Hosseini. Find me, talk to me. If you're interested for us to come and talk to you at your school or have a private conversation with me, just email me, Melody@InspiringAge.com.
Okay, lovely. Perfect. You did really well there. Now I'm pausing the music for one last question. what would you like your legacy to be?
That I did something good.
Okay.
That I actually impacted communities by way of kindness and making it about people. And that's what it's about.
Perfect. On that note, Melody, thank you so much for your precious time. I hope we get to meet in face to person very, very soon. Thank you for all your amazing insights. I'll continue to watch all the amazing work you do with Inspire Engage and your life as a parent also and a busy business entrepreneur. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it, Russ. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.